I passed out a sheet that has some dates on it.
刚刚发给大家一个讲义，上面有很多的年代和日期。
I'm not going to take the time to go through the sheet with you. That would be a bit tedious.
我不会一个一个讲这几个年代，这样大家会觉得太无聊。
On the back of the sheet, you'll see a chart of Ezekiel's oracles, or at least the ones that are dated.
在下面翻过来，你可以看到是以西结他讲的许多先知预言的地方，那里面通常都有日期的记载。
Again, I don't really want to take the time this afternoon in order to say anything about that chart.
今天我们也没有时间一一的走过这几个时间点。
I give both charts to you, though, for your information.
我给大家这讲义是要给大家自己回家参考。
The one chart will help you put Ezekiel into his Old Testament context, as well as an ancient Near Eastern context.
有这个讲义呢，你就可以知道以西结书跟整个旧约历史的关联。你也可以借由这个讲义知道以西结这整个历史事件跟远东，就是世界的历史之间的关联。
The book of Ezekiel also has more chronological notations than the other prophetic books.
跟其他旧约里面先知书比起来，以西结书里面有很多年代的记载。
And the other chart then puts the dated oracles in proper relationship with one another.
那我给大家这个有一张列表，上面就把以西结在这本书里面所讲的重点的话，还有他讲话的时间点都列出来了。
So you can see that Ezekiel had a fairly long ministry. He began ministering in 593 BC, and then his final oracle, so far as we know, came in the late 570s.
所以你可以看到以西结他的服事的历史是很长的。他一开始服事的时候是在593年，他结束的时候是573年。
This would be in contrast to someone like Haggai, who only ministered, so far as we know, for about 4 or 5 months.
这跟哈该，比如说先知哈该比起来，哈该他只服事了4-5个月，所以以西结服事的年代算服事年数算是很长的。
Why don't we begin with prayer?
我们先低头祷告。
Our Father and our God, we thank you for the time that we have spent with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, worshiping you.
亲爱的天父，感谢你今天让我们有时间跟我们的弟兄姐妹一起敬拜你。
Thank you for raising up this church in this place.
感谢你在这个地方建立了希望教会。
Thank you for the pastor or pastors who faithfully minister here.
感谢你派遣牧师来到这里，忠心地服侍你。
Thank you, our Father, for how people have come to this church and have been strengthened in their faith by this church's teaching and its fellowship.
感谢你带领人来到这个教会，借由这个教会的教导还有团契，更加强这些人的信心。
I thank you, O God, for these folks who are part of this class.
感谢主让这些人来上今天的主日学。
And for those who are finishing up in the other class.
也感谢你在另外一个教室里面现在有另外一个课程在进行。
I pray that our study of your word might be profitable for our growth in godliness.
我们求你在我们研读你的话语的时候，希望我们所读的话能够对我们灵性上的成长有所注意。
Father, I know some of these folks a little bit better than some others, but for the most part, I don't know anyone except my own wife all that deeply.
今天来上课的学生当中，有些我比较认识，有些我不太认识。其实除了我太太之外，其他的人我并没有深入的认识。
Therefore, I don't really know what weighs heavily on the minds of these folks as they sit in this class this afternoon.
他们今天坐在这里，我并不清楚他们心里面现在最在乎的是什么事情。
I don't know what concerns they left behind whenever they came to church today. I don't know what concerns to which they return when they leave here in about an hour.
我不知道这些人今天来教会之前是不是心中有什么担忧，或者说他们今天离开教会之后是不是又要回到生活当中去担忧那些事情。
But you know and you care about these dear saints of yours.
但是你知道一切，你也知道这所有的圣徒当中心中在想什么，你都了若指掌。
And I pray that you might meet them where they are, and that your grace might be sufficient for them.
我求你与他们面对面，让他们看到你，也愿你的恩典够他们用。
Over the course of the next 3 months or so, I pray that our study of Ezekiel might also be meaningful.To these folks.
我求你在接下来我们三个月读以西结书的时候，愿我们的查经能够对在场的人有所帮助。
May your word, even this more or less obscure prophet, not return to you void.
虽然以西结书不好懂，但是我们求你在我们研读你的话语的时候，你的话语不会空空的返回你那里。
Most of all, I pray that we will see the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Ezekiel.
我们也求你让我们在以西结书里面看到主耶稣基督。
Please, O God, use this book in order to draw us closer to Him.
求你用以西结书让我们能够更靠近主耶稣。
And will you equip us to serve the Lord Jesus?Wherever you sovereignly choose to put us.
不管你要我们做什么，求你让我们能够来服侍主耶稣。
We pray in His name for His honor and glory. Amen.
奉耶稣的名祷告，也是为了你的荣耀而求。Amen.
The book of Ezekiel admittedly challenges its readers.Perhaps more so than any other book in the Bible.
对我们来说，以西结书可能比圣经里面任何一卷书都还要难读。
Or maybe I ought to be a little less dogmatic and say more than most books of the Bible.
或者我应该这么说，比圣经里面大部分的书都不好读。
The opening vision in chapter 1 is very difficult to translate.As well as to interpret.
在以西结书第一章开场白这边，以西结所看到的异象，不但很难翻译，也很难去诠释。
Part of the reason why chapter 1 is so hard to translate is because of the grammar.
第一章为什么这么难翻译？因为它的文法很糟糕。
Ezekiel was apparently so excited whenever he saw this vision of whatever it is that he saw that he couldn't.Think in a grammatically correct way.
不管以西结他看到是什么异象，显然他当时非常的激动，激动到他没有办法用正确的文法把他所看到的东西写下来。
He just wrote whatever came to mind.
不管他心里面想到什么，他就赶快把它写下来。
And then later on, he apparently chose not to revise his first draft, but he left all the grammatical mistakes in the final.A draft of the book.
而且以西结他把这卷书写完之后，他选择不要去修正他前面所写的这些错误的文法，他就把这些错误的文法留在那里。
The bad grammar actually becomes a vehicle of meaning.
所以他这些糟糕的文法本身却带有特别的意涵。
It becomes a vehicle of meaning because we see just how excited.Ezekiel is, as well as how confounded he is by what he's seeing.
因为他文法这么糟糕，我们可以从这边了解到说，以西结他当时看到异象的时候有多么激动，多么的困惑。
My guess is we can all relate to Ezekiel, because we have trouble interpreting this first chapter.
我想我们可以理解以西结的困惑和混乱，因为我们看第一章的时候，我们也有同样的感受。
If Ezekiel wasn't quite sure what he was seeing, we're not sure either what he saw.
因为连以西结他自己都讲不清楚他到底看到什么，所以对我们读他这卷书的人来讲，我们当然也很难去想象他到底看到了什么。
Well, if we're not quite sure how to read the first chapter of the book, we don't necessarily do any better with the closing chapters of the book.
如果说我们连第一章开场的这个意象都不知道怎么去诠释的话，那以西结书最后终结那个意象，我们更不知道如何去诠释它。
The closing chapters, give us Ezekiel's new temple vision.
在以西结书结尾的时候，告诉我们是以西结对圣殿的意象。
Some people think that a literal temple will yet be built in Jerusalem, and other people think that this vision has something to do with the first coming of Jesus.
有些人对于这个圣殿的意象的诠释是说，真的就会在耶路撒冷建立一个新的圣殿。有人说诠释是说，这是指耶稣第一次来到世上。
When we get to chapters 40 through 48, sometime in late January, I guess, we'll see what differences of opinion exist among us.
我们一月的时候应该会读到40到48章了，到时候我们就可以知道到底有多多人对于这个终结的这个意象有不同的看法。
Now, the material in between the first vision and the closing vision is not necessarily any easier to interpret.
所以开始的意象跟结尾的意象都非常的困难，那两个意象中间的许多意象也不见得比较简单。
It also generates confusion and controversy.
同样的，中间这些意象也造成很多人的困惑，并且引起很大的争议。
Did Ezekiel travel to Jerusalem in chapter 8, or did he just see the city in a vision?
比如说在第八章，以西结他真的回到耶路撒冷吗？还是他只是在意象中看到这个城市呢？
Why is the sexually graphic language of chapters 16 and 22 in the Bible?
为什么16章和22章要用这么入骨的性的描写的方式来描述这些经文？为什么这样的经文会出现在圣经里？
Surprised I don't hear any rustling of pages.
好奇怪，大家怎么都没有赶快翻到十六章和二十二章去。
You're a patient bunch. You'll wait until we get there.
大家怎么这么有耐心？难道大家都要等到我们读到那边才看吗
？You'll wait until you go home.
好吧，你可以回家自己翻翻看。
Was Ezekiel really not allowed to mourn his beloved wife's death?
真的，上帝禁止以西结去哀悼他死去的太太吗？
Was the king of Tyre really in the Garden of Eden? And is he a fallen angel, even Satan himself?
里面提到的推罗王，他真的有在伊甸园里面吗？他真的是一个堕落天使吗？还是他就是撒旦自己呢？
Are Gog and Magog somehow connected with Russia in our day?
里面提到的哥哥跟马哥，这跟今天的俄国有什么关联？
What about those dry bones? Can they live again? And have they?
那些枯干的骨头呢？他们真的可以活过来吗？他们真的有活下来吗？
Well, we'll look at all of these issues and some more in the coming weeks.
接下来几个礼拜，我们会一一的走过这些问题。
And we'll try to make sense of them.
我们尝试去了解这些东西。
On top of all of these questions, Ezekiel the man comes across as a rather strange individual.
除了这些非常困难的问题之外，我们看以西结这个人，他给我们的印象是他是一个怪人。
Some people have, wrongly, in my point of view, considered him psychotic.
有些人觉得他是个疯子，是个精神病人，可是我觉得这样的解释是错的。
To be sure, he engaged in some rather, bizarre behavior.
没错，他有一些不寻常的行为和举动。
But then he also lived during some unprecedented times in Israel's history.
但是我们要知道，他活的那个年代是以色列历史上前所未有的动乱。
Maybe his context has something to do with his seemingly abnormal behavior.
也许他的时代背景和他的遭遇让他的行为有些异常。
Anyways, what do we make of this fellow?
不过我们到底要怎么样来看待以西结这个人？
We're going to have to come to some decision in the next few weeks.
接下来这个礼拜，我们应该要慢慢的对以西结这个人有一些了解。
The social location of Ezekiel may lack appeal or may turn certain people off.
至于以西结在当时社会上的处境，有些人可能会觉得说不想要去深究他这个人的处境，觉得说这个人的处境实在是不堪令人设想。
Ezekiel ministered to a people who had been deported or exiled from their homeland.
因为以西结服侍这群人是被逐出家园、逐出自己国家的一群人。
And what we say about Ezekiel is more or less true for the other literature that was written during the exile.
以西结书跟当时时代里面的一些流亡文学其实性质很像。
Here's my points.
我的重点是
It seems to me that the exilic texts written during the exile are unpopular among American Christians anyways.
在我的看法里面，我觉得像以西结书这样的流亡文学，对于美国的基督徒来讲，美国的基督徒不喜欢这样的文学。
I don't know how these texts appeal or don't appeal to Taiwanese writers or readers, but maybe you can enlighten me as we go along.
我不知道台湾的读者对于流亡文学的接受度有多高，也许大家等一下可以跟我分享你们的看法。
There is a lot of anger, judgment, and suffering the exilic texts, including Ezekiel.
在流亡文学里面，常常可以感受到很深的愤怒、审判以及苦难，这些在以西结书里面都可以看得到。
And American Christians like to focus on passages about God's grace and love.
美国的基督徒就特别喜欢看有关上帝的爱和恩典的经文。
And maybe Taiwanese Christians do too. I don't know yet.
也许台湾的基督徒也特别喜欢看这样的经文。
To be sure, God's grace and love are not absent from the exilic texts, including the book of Ezekiel.
不过可以确定的是，神的恩典和慈爱，即使在流亡文学和像以西结书这样流亡的记载流亡的经文当中，我们还是可以看到神的恩典和慈爱。
But the exilic texts do remind us that God has more than one or two attributes.
可是像这样记载流亡的经文告诉我们，上帝不只是一个恩典和慈爱的神，神还有其他的特质。
These texts feature tension between God's justice and God's grace.
你从这些经文里面，你可以感受到神的公义和神的慈爱之间的拉扯。
And the fact is, the exile caught God's people off guard.
重点是，以色列人那时候会被掳会流亡，完全是出乎他们意料之外。
Yes, the prophets who ministered before the exile gave plenty of advanced warning.
没错，在他们流亡之前，以色列的先知已经多次的警告他们说他们会流亡。
But the magnitude of the suffering and the destruction seemed to outstrip the offense of God's people.
可是他们竟然受到这样巨大的痛苦和毁灭，这似乎跟他们所应得的惩罚起来不成比例，他们好像不应该受到这么大的惩罚。
It seemed to the sufferers that God had inflicted punishment to excess.
对那些受苦的以色列人来讲，神让他们受的苦实在是超过他们应该受的了。
We'll see some of this in Ezekiel, but you really see this in the book of Lamentations.
我们在以西结书里面可以看到这样的心情，然后在耶利米哀歌里面也是可以感受到这样的心情。
Lamentations is a fascinating book, but it exceeds our purpose in this class.
耶利米哀歌是非常棒的一卷书，不过不是我们这堂课要讲的。
So maybe another time, and another place.
所以也许我们以后有时间再来深究耶利米哀歌。
See, I was listening to the preacher this morning, and he said we might be moving.
我今天早上听牧师讲到，他是说，没错，我们以后有可能会继续上主日学会，继续上下去。
Having gone through the exile, Ezekiel's audience wondered about God's love, His promises, and His purposes.
以西结他服侍的这群以色列来经过流亡的苦难之后，他们开始怀疑上帝的爱、应许还有目的。
All of the exilic texts reveal and address a shaken and a confused faith.
从这些记载流亡的经文当中，你可以感受到这些以色列人他们的信心受到动摇，他们的信心经历过相当大的困惑。
Now back to the reason why American Christians may not like a book like Ezekiel.
我们再来想想看，为什么美国的基督徒不喜欢像以西结的这种书？
The book of 1 Peter says that Christians are strangers and aliens in this world.
彼得前书说，基督徒在世上是寄居的。
I get the sense though that many Christians don't want to think of themselves as exiles.
我觉得很多基督徒并不喜欢把他们自己看作是流亡的人一样。
It's tempting in the West, anyways, to try to put down roots and acquire the trappings of success.
在西方世界里面，很多人都想要落地生根，并且希望自己的生命中有成功的点缀。
And we Americans, make Warren, prefer heroes, strong can-do types that model success.
我们这些美国人呢，特别喜欢那些英雄角色，那些成功的典范，这些什么事情都做得成的人。
And maybe Taiwanese people are the same way.
也许台湾人也是一样。
I've done some traveling in Taipei, and it is amazing to me how many banks and financial institutions are in this city.
我来台北之后呢，曾经到处去看过，我觉得台北一个城市里面竟然有这么多的银行和金融机构，让我非常讶异。
Somebody must be making money.
一定有人会赚钱的嘛。
And if you're making money, maybe exilic texts about loss and deprivation and suffering aren't going to be your favorite part of God's word.
如果有人他很顺利的赚钱的话，那对于他对于以西结书这样的一卷书里面记载的是失去亲人、流亡、伤痛等等，他怎么会喜欢以西结这样的书呢？
And maybe you're not going to read Ezekiel any more than you have to because Ezekiel ministered to losers.
也许你自己也不是很想要看这样的书，因为以西结他服侍的人是一群落水狗。
He ministered to people who had been forcibly displaced from their homeland.
以西结服侍这群人是被迫离开他们家园、离开他们国家的一群人。
They didn't have much in the way of possessions.
这里面讲的不是说一个人有多少财产、多么有钱。
They had to leave them all behind, and Nebuchadnezzar and his army probably destroyed them anyways.
这些以色列人必须放弃他们所有的。财产，他们所有的一切，因为尼布甲尼撒王和他的军队，也许已经把他们的家园、他们的财产全部都摧毁了。
Here's the thing, though, life doesn't always allow us to realize our plans and our ambitions.
我们真的要去仔细想想，其实一生当中，我们没办法常常都可以顺利的达成我们的梦想和抱负。
Life has a way of pulling the rug out from under us and leaving us battered and confused.
有时候生命就是这样，有时候生命就像这样子，好像你走在红地毯上，突然间有人把地毯抽走了，你摔了一跤，跌得很惨。
How many people in our world today are dislocated for political and economic reasons?
现今世上有多少人因为政治还有经济的因素必须离开自己的家园，离开自己的国家？
How many people back in the United States are losing their homes now because of the financial crisis? They can't keep up with the payments, as Joel mentioned in the sermon.
现在美国人有多少人因为付不起银行的贷款，就因为现在有金融危机必须离开他们的家，就像刚才就讲的。
For how many people does divorce, sickness, or death shatter their world?
有多少人的生命因为离婚、死亡或者生病而整个生活破碎掉？
Before coming to Taiwan, I used to teach at an Episcopal seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
我来台湾之前是在宾州匹兹堡的一个圣公会神学院教书。
I'm not sure if you're aware of the turmoil in the Anglican Communion at this time.
我不知道大家对于现在英国国教里面，一些对于教义的一些争论有多少了解。
But many of those dear colleagues and students feel like outcasts now in their own denomination.
但是因为英国国教里面的这些争议，很多在这个教派里面的学生还有我的同仁，他们觉得自己好像是格格不入，跟这个教派已经是格格不入了。
Their world has been turned upside down by ecclesiastical turmoil.
Ecclesiastical turmoil
in the church.
Okay. 这些人他们常常因为教会里面的这些混乱的状况必须离开。
People love their church, don't they?
这些人也爱他们的教会啊。
And when their church is in trouble, they lie awake at night worrying about it.
那教会遇到这么大的困境和问题的时候，他们有时候半夜醒来都还会想着这些问题。
That's the way these folks were back at the seminary where I used to teach.
我以前教书的神学院里面很多人现在就是面临这样的挣扎。
And maybe you can relate to them on the basis of your previous church experience.
也许你之前在待过的教会也有一些问题，所以你可以感受到这些人现在所经历的挣扎有多么复杂。
Anyways, a book like Ezekiel reminds us that we can never be completely at home here in this world.
以西结书告诉我们，我们在世上，这世上不是我们最后的家。
We have to reckon with exile and how to live with it, at least for now.
在我们今生今世，我们就是要去习惯去面对我们流亡的生活，因为这就是我们目前的处境。
Now, we as God's people do have a home, don't we?
但是我们是神的子民，我们真的是有家。
It's just not here.
不过我们的家不在这世上。
Or actually, it will be here someday when Jesus returns and ushers in a new heavens and a new earth.
也许耶稣第二次来到世上的时候，新天新地就会来到这里，这里就会变成我们的家。
But for now, we live in a world that labors under a curse and isn't the way it's supposed to be.
但是现在我们所活的世界是在诅咒之下，神，这不是神要的世界。
Even so, God has not abandoned us in exile.
但是神，就是虽然神没有在我们流亡的生活当中抛弃我们。
He is here with us, and at the same time, He is preparing another place for us.
神他在我们的流亡当中，他与我们同在，并且他为我们预备一个地方，让我们以后可以去。
The book of Ezekiel then weans its readers away from false sources of security.
以西结书让读这卷书的人都可以警告，就可以有得到一个提醒，就是不要从错误的地方寻求安全感。
It will hit us hard regarding the idols of our hearts.
这本书也让我们清楚看到心中有什么样的偶像。
And we will have to identify and discuss some of those idols as we proceed through the book.
我们读这卷书的时候，我们要自己去思考，并且认清我们心中有什么偶像。
The book also calls us to take responsibility for our decisions and actions.
这本书也要我们为自己的决定和行为做负责任。
Ezekiel's exilic audience was tempted to blame its parents and grandparents for its current plight.
以西结服侍这群流亡的人，他们都责备自己的父母、祖父母，因为他们犯了罪，才让他们这一代的人要受流亡这种痛苦。
In that way, the book of Ezekiel is a very modern or postmodern book.
如果从这个角度来看的话，以西结书是一本相当后现代的 经文。
Ezekiel, or at least it's a very American book.
至少是相当有美国文化特质的一卷书。
Ezekiel also cheers us with the assurance of an open future made possible by God's grace.
但是以西结书告诉我们，因为上帝的恩典，我们的未来是有很多的盼望的，这是确信的。
Now, I've already told you that the book of Ezekiel has more chronological notations than most prophetic books. It has 14 notations in all.
我刚才已经跟大家讲过，以西结书里面出现年代的记载比大部分的先知书都还要多，总共有14个时间点。
And why don't we read the first two? They are found in at the beginning of the book. And if you have a Bible with you,regardless of the translation or the language, really, why don't you read the opening three verses of the book?
我们现在其中两个时间点出现在以西结书一章一到三节，所以我们现在就把一到三节读过一次。
Okay, I'll read it then in English.In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him.
一到三节，当三十年四月初五日，以西结在加巴鲁河边贝鲁的人中，天就开了，得见神的异象。正是约雅金王贝鲁去第五年四月初五日，在加勒底人之地加巴鲁河边，耶和华的话特特临到布西的儿子祭司以西结，耶和华的灵降在他身上。
Is there anyone who didn't get the handout that I distributed earlier?
有没有人没有拿到我之前发的讲义？
You will see on the side that says chronology of Ezekiel's dated oracles that the year, month, and day for the chronological notation in 1-1 is the 30th year, the fourth month, the fifth day, corresponding to July 31, 593 BC.
在这边你可以看到以西结里面重要的时间点，还有它的事件。第一个时间点是现在第一节。第一章第一节，是三十年四月初五日。如果放到如略历，就是那时候用的一种月历当中来看，就是593年七月三十一号。
And you will see that the notation in the second verse, for the fifth year, the fourth month, and the fifth day, corresponding again to July 31, 593.
在第一章第二节这边，它的年代、它的年是第五年四月初五日。放到儒略历上面来看的话，同样也是593年七月三十一号。
All of the chronological notations in the book of Ezekiel are based on the year that King Jehoiakim went into exile, and that year was 597 BC.
所有以西结书里面年代的记载都是从约雅金王贝鲁去第五年四月五初五日 那天开始算，所以放到如月历上面来看的话，就是593年。
The one exception is the notation in the first verse.
唯一的例外就是第一节，第一章第一节这里。
Now.If all of the notations are based on the year that Jehoiakim went into exile, including the notation in the first verse, then this notation makes no sense.
如果说以西结书里面所有年代的记载都是从约雅金王被掳去第五年四月初五日开始算的话，那么第一节这边他说三十年四月初五日，这样子看的话，如果说三十年四月初五日也是从约雅金王被掳去那年开始算的话，其实这样子我们会造成我们的困惑。
30 years after 597, when Jehoiakim went into exile, would be 567, but we have no idea what happened in 567.
因为如果他这样子推算的话，这一年应该是567年，可是在以西结书里面，我们根本就没有任何一个时间点是告诉我们567年发生什么事情。
And Ezekiel doesn't tell us what happened in 567.
以西结他也没有告诉我们567年的时候发生了什么事。
And why would you put the latest date in the book in the first verse of the book?
OK, 而且如果说第一节他这边指的年代是567年的话，为什么以西结要把最后的这个年代放在这本书的最一开始呢？
Now, chapter 1, verse 2 refers to a fifth dayin the fifth year of Jehoiakim's exile, but it doesn't give us a month.
这第二节这边告诉我们说，在这个月的第五天，就是说约雅金王被掳去的第五年。
The logical assumption then is that the fourth month in verse 1 is still in view in verse 2.
所以因为他我们就用周年来计算，因为第一节这边讲的是三十年四月初五日，所以第二节这边他用如果说用周年来计算的话，第五年这个应该也是四月初五日。
So then, oh, somebody inserted the month. Oh my, tampering with the text. Yeah, in the Hebrew, no month is given in verse 2.
在第二节这边，其实在希伯来文原文里面，他并没有讲说是四月初五日，他只有讲说是在某一个月的第五天。
What month is given in Mandarin?
April.
The fourth month. This American doesn't have to take issue with a Mandarin version of the Bible. Not worthy of translation.
I don't want to get here.
Yes, we're recording, aren't we? Where was I? 1-1 and 1-2 refer to the same date and event, but in different ways.
所以第一节跟第二节其实虽然有两个不同的日期，看起来是两个不同的日期，其实讲的是同一天，讲的也是同一件事。
The church father Origen said that 1-1 refers to Ezekiel's 30th year, and many people are inclined to agree with him.
有一个之前一个圣经学家，他说他叫 Origen， 他说这个三十年四月初五日，三十年指的是以西结三十岁那一年。
So Ezekiel's telling you that he was 30 years old whenever he received his first piece of revelation from God.
所以以西结在告诉我们，他第一次看到神给他异象的时候，他已经三十岁了。
Or I do better to say, whenever he was called into the ministry.
或者说神第一次呼召他来服事的时候，他是三十岁。
If Origen is correct, then Ezekiel was born in 623 during the reforms of King Josiah.
如果 Origen 这位学者讲法是对的话，那以西结出生那一年是623年，那时候是约西亚王正在改革的时候，改革犹大的时候。
Now you may remember that the book of the law was found in the temple while Josiah was king and doing his reforms.
大家应该记得，在约西亚王掌权的时候，那时候律法书在圣殿里面被发现了。
But the reforming effects of Josiah's reign never reached to the grassroots of society.
可是虽然当时约西王他非常努力地改革他的国家，这些改革的效果和影响力并没有真正地深入到民间。
So Josiah may have been a young boy during Josiah's reforms, but he also witnessed much apostasy and immorality during his childhood.
所以虽然以西结他小时候 那个年代是约西亚王掌权的时候，可是他还是看到很多他的人民当中有很多变节的事情，有很多不道德的行为。
When Josiah was a teenager, he learned about the collapse of Assyria and the rise of Babylon and Egypt.
以西结年轻的时候，他目睹了亚述帝国的灭亡，还有巴比伦和埃及的兴起。Ezekiel.
What did I say?
You said Josiah. When Josiah was a teenager.
Oh, when Ezekiel was a teenager.
I translated right.
Thank you for covering for me. She's a good translator, isn't she? That's right. Translate what I mean, not what I say.
I know. Okay? I know.
Josiah died in 609 B.C., and we don't know for sure, but perhaps his untimely death came as a shock to the adolescent Ezekiel.
约西亚王在西元前609年去世了，他的死是很突然的，所以也许对当时还是青少年的以西结来讲，这是一个很大的震撼。
Josiah was the last hope that godly people in Judah had before the bottom just completely fell out of their world.
因为对犹大的子民来讲，约西亚王是他们灵性上的希望的最后一个希望，那他死了，他们的希望也就破灭了。
After Josiah's death, his three sons and grandson took their turns at being king.And they were not their father's equal.
约西亚王死了之后，他三个儿子还有他的孙子，然后继承他做王。可是他们做出来的行为根本不能跟约西亚王比。
They did not share his faith.
他们没有约西亚王的信仰。
While Ezekiel was growing up, he may have heard the preaching of Jeremiah, and perhaps he knew about Zephaniah and Habakkuk.
以西结成长的过程当中，他也许还听过耶利米的讲道，他也可能认识哈巴谷跟西番雅这两位先知。
In 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar flexed his muscles and took Daniel and some others to Babylon.
西元前605年的时候，尼布甲尼撒王大军进攻了，他们把但以里还有其他的以色列人掳到巴比伦了。
Ezekiel was 18 at the time and perhaps wondered if he was next.
以西结那时候18岁，他可能想说下一个被掳的人会不会是我。
As it turned out, he was.
结果没错，他真的被掳去了，他也被掳去巴比伦。
In 597, Nebuchadnezzar, who was running out of patience with Josiah's sons, also took Ezekiel to Babylon.
西元前597年的时候，尼布甲尼撒王对于约西亚王的后代已经没有什么耐心了，所以他们就把其他人掳去巴比伦，其中就包括以西结。
So far as we know, Ezekiel lived out his days in exile.
所以我们所看到的他的一生的前景的记载，他一生大部分是活在流亡的生活里。
Ezekiel tells us in the first verse, if we go with Origen,that he was 30 when he was called to be a prophet.
如果说 Origen 的讲法是对的话，那么以西结他在第一节这边告诉我们是他开始服事的时候已经30岁了。
He also tells us in verse 3 that his father was a priest.
在第三节这边以西结告诉我们他的父亲也是一个祭司。
So Ezekiel grew up thinking that someday he would become a priest.
所以以西结他成长的过程当中，他一直以为自己也会成为祭司。
And priests normally started their temple duties when they turned 30.
祭司通常是在30岁的时候开始在圣殿里面服事。
When Ezekiel had his 30th birthday, He was a long ways from the Jerusalem temple.
可是以西结30岁的时候，他所处在的他住的地方跟耶路撒冷差了距离那么远。
So instead of entering the priesthood, he received a call to be a prophet.
所以他并没有成为祭司，可是在那一年，神呼召他成为一个先知。
But keep in mind, his call to be a prophet came 5 years after he had gone into exile.
可是大家要注意到，神呼召他当先知的时候，那时候他已经被掳五年了。
5 years is a long time to wonder what God is going to do with all of your training.
在这五年当中，他可能会想说，神到底是要我做些什么？我有这样的背景，神要我做些什么？
Perhaps Ezekiel, like some of us, including your teacher, wondered what he was going to do when he finally grew up.
也许大家跟以西结，包括我一样，我们都会想说，我们长大之后到底要做什么？
All of this is to say that Ezekiel lived in a very turbulent world.
从之前我们刚刚讲的这一切看来，我们可以知道以西结的年代是一个动荡不安的年代。
Babylon and Egypt vied to fill the void left by Assyria's demise.
巴比伦和埃及两个强国在竞争，要争亚述帝国的地位，因为亚述帝国已经灭亡了。
Josiah's death put an end to the political and spiritual hopes of people in Judah.
约西亚王他死了，犹大的子民他们对于他们在政治上或者在信仰上他们的一切的希望也幻灭了。
Meanwhile, Jeremiah indicted the priests back in Jerusalem for clerical malfeasance, and those same priests tried to kill him.
在那个时候，因为耶利米他揭发了当时一些祭司他们亵渎神职的行为，结果这些祭司他们就联合起来要杀耶利米。
Perhaps Ezekiel was aware of these threats against his older contemporary.
所以以西结对于他的前辈所受到这些威胁和危险，他心中也非常的明白。
And thought twice about receiving any call to be a prophet.And thought twice about receiving any call to be a prophet.
所以神呼召他当先知，他心中可能曾经犹豫过。
If people were trying to kill Jeremiah, they might try to kill Ezekiel.
因为那些要去杀耶利米的人，他们也可能想杀以西结。
So when Ezekiel turned 30, he had seen quite a bit, both good and not so good.
所以以西结他活到30岁的时候，他已经看过一些好事，他也看过一些非常糟糕的一些处境，一些坏事。
As I mentioned earlier, Ezekiel ministered to people whose entire world had been turned upside down.
就像我刚刚讲过的，以西结服侍的这群人，他们的世界是整个被颠覆过来，是破碎的。
Let me give a little bit more detail about that.
我可以在这点上面多加阐述一下。
And then maybe you can try to slip into the sandals of.Ezekiel's audience.
所以这样大家比较容易想象说，以西结他服侍的这群人当时的处境是怎么样。
For Ezekiel's audience, there was first of all physical and emotional stress.
对以西结服侍这群人来讲，首先他们不管是在身体上或者在心灵上，他们受到极大的痛苦。
The exiles had suffered loss, trauma, and dislocation.
这些流亡的人，他们失去了亲人和财产，他们被迫离开家园，他们要受苦，他们有心理中很大的创伤。
They had watched a foreign army trample their property and kill their friends and loved ones.
他们亲眼看到外国的军队入侵他们的家园，摧毁他们的财产和一切，而且杀了他们的朋友和家人。
They had marched hundreds of miles.Grieving their loss and fearing the unknown.
他们千里跋涉，因为他们被迫要流亡了。他们不但心中悲痛，因为他们失去了亲人，他们还要去面对未知的未来。
Older folks had undoubtedly collapsed along the way.
在流亡这千里跋涉当中，年纪比较大的，体力不支，可能就死在路边了。
The exiles were now political prisoners.Homeless and not at all wanting to be in Babylon.
这些流亡的人，他们现在是政治犯，无家可归，他们也不想要留在巴比伦。
How many of them fell into an exhausted acceptance or into utter despair?
有多少人他们因为精疲力尽就只好接受这样的命运，或者有多少人他们就从此沮丧不已，再也无法振奋起来。
Could there ever be joy again when all that was sacred and precious to them was gone?
所以对他们来讲，一切的圣洁的东西，一切美好的、珍贵的东西都失去的时候，他们真的还可以重新看到、重新感受到喜乐吗？
Some other people among the exiles had a slightly different take. They viewed the exile as a minor setback that would soon be over.
那流亡当中也有一些人，他们比较乐观的想说，目前的流亡只不过是暂时的挫败，很快这段流亡的日子就会结束了。
We might say that they responded to Babylon's might with serious denial.
我们可以说，其实这样的人，他们这样的想法是昧于现实，他们没有真正认清那时候巴比伦的帝国的势力到底有多大。
There were also theological questions to go along with the physical and emotional stress.
这些以色列人受了灵性上、身体上这样的痛苦，他们开始在对神的关系上也产生疑问了。
Exile of a Davidic king, and then the eventual razing or destroying of the temple, razing, R-A-Z-I-N-G, all right? Exile of a Davidic king and the razing of the temple created a theological crisis.
因为他们看到大卫子孙这个后裔约雅金王被辱，他们的圣殿整个被夷为平地，他们心中对神产生了疑问了。
How could God allow the destruction of his city and the exile of his people?
神怎么可以允许他的圣城遭到这样的毁灭？神怎么会允许他的子民要被迫接受流亡？
Did he not care?
神难道不在乎吗？
Or was he not strong enough to resist Marduk, the Babylonian god?
还是他们的神不够强，敌不过巴比伦的神，就是米罗达神。
What about his promise to David that David would always have a descendant on the throne?
那神对大卫王的应许呢？神不是说大卫的后裔一定会继续坐在王位上吗？
Had God forgotten about that promise? Or perhaps worse, had he reneged on it?
难道神忘记他对大卫的应许了吗？还是神他不愿意实现自己的应许呢？
Popular theology considered Jerusalem, God's city, inviolable. In other words, no foreign general was going to show up Yahweh on his own turf.
那时候很多人他们都相信说耶路撒冷是圣城，是不可侵犯的，任何外国的军队都没办法来侵犯这个上耶和华的圣城。
And yet the armies of Babylon had trampled Jerusalem.
可是巴比伦的军队他们攻进了耶路撒冷，并且把它夷为平地。
We'll see this later on in Ezekiel, but the exiles thought that they were being punished for the sins of previous generations.
我们在以西结书接下来的经文会看到说，这些流亡的人认为他们是因为他们之前几代的祖父母、父母所犯的罪而受到这样的惩罚。
And to some extent they were, but we're going to have to talk about that later on.
在某一个角度来讲，从某一个角度来讲，他们的确是因为这样受到了惩罚，不过这一点我们以后会再多加解释。
It seemed to these people though that God was being unfair, punishing them for somebody else's misdeeds.
对这些以色列人来讲，他们觉得上帝很不公平，为什么要因为他们祖父母所犯的错来惩罚他们呢？
And of course, people always want to pass blame, right? And shrug off any notion of culpability.
可是人的天性就是这样，自己犯错了，不会去认自己犯，不愿意承认自己犯了什么错，总想要脱罪。
In short, Ezekiel's audience wondered where God was.
那时候，这些以色列人他们质疑上帝到底在哪里。
And all of their questions added up to one conclusion, namely that God had failed.
他们这些所有的问题加起来就是一个结论，就是说上帝失败了。
But could he? The sovereign Lord of heaven and earth? Could he really fail?
可是这位造天地的主，这位全能的上帝，他真的会失败吗？
If there was physical and emotional stress, if there were theological questions, there was also the temptation to convert to Babylonian religion.
如果说他们身体和心灵上受到极大的痛苦，他们对神也有这样的疑问，他们的第三个遭遇到的一个大试探就是，那时候他们现在就是要不要去信巴比伦所拜的这位神。
Any captured people wants to try to fit into its new location, and the Israelites would have been no different.
所有被掳的人，他们被抓到一个新的地方去，他们总想融入当地的社会。对当时的以色列人来讲，他们也想要融入当时的社会。
Besides, Marduk had won. Maybe we should switch our allegiance to him.
而且他们看到米罗达神，他的确是战胜的啊，巴比伦军队战胜了，所以为什么我们不改信米罗达呢？
Fourth.Theology and psychology joined in feelings of guilt.
可是后来他们经历过这些跟神关系的这些质疑，还有他们心理上受到这样的创伤之后，他们开始去反省到自己是不是也犯了罪，他们开始有了罪恶感。
After 5 years, the initial horror and trauma of an uprooting gave way to self-analysis.
五年，他们被掳五年之后，他们所受到的创伤，他们所受到的恐惧，让他们后来慢慢去检视自己的内心是不是犯了罪。
People began to ask, "Where did we go wrong?"
那时候的以色列人开始问，我们是不是做错了什么？
In time, the exiles did come to admit that they had been unfaithful to God's covenant.
后来，这些流亡的人，他们终于了解到，他们对于神的约并没有忠实的去遵守。
The guilt and the shame without any consolation of grace would be unbearable.
他们在这样的羞辱和罪恶感当中，如果没有神的恩典的安慰他们的话，他们是无法承受这样的羞辱和罪恶感的。
So then, Ezekiel had to minister to a wide range of people.
所以以西结那时候要服侍的人很多。
I don't know what your impressions of him are as you come into this class, but please, let's not consider him a theatrical fire and brimstone preacher.
我不知道大家在上以西结书之前对于以西结这个人的印象是什么，但是他绝对不是一个讲到的时候只会讲说上帝是一个降下火和硫磺来，不是这种嘴巴里面一直会威胁别人会有什么样的惩罚的这样的讲道人，他不是这样的人。
Ezekiel could not witness all the devastation, pain, anger, and anxiety, and not feel empathy.
以西结他目睹了他周边的人经历过生命，经过这样的创伤，经历过这样的焦虑，经历过这样的苦难，他不可能不感同身受，他也有那样的感受。
No person could. And of course, Ezekiel had gone through all of these experiences with these people.
没有人在看到周边的人经历过这样的苦难的时候，能不感同身受。以西结他同样的，他对周遭人受到的苦，他心中也很明白。
Perhaps Ezekiel was just a little bit strange because of all that he had to endure.
大家会觉得以西结是个怪人，也许正是因为他经历过了这些不寻常的苦难和动乱。
And yet God called him to be a prophet, and he received a monumental task to meet these people where they were.
神呼召以西结成为先知，这是给他一个多么巨大的责任，因为他要去，服侍他周边这些人。他周边这些人有这么大的创伤和问题，他就是要去服侍他们。
What a first pastorate!
他只不过是第一次受到呼召而已，就承受这么重大的责任，这是多大的挑战啊！
What do you think, Joel? You want a pastorate like this?
义牧师，你想要第一次服侍的时候就面对这样的挑战吗？
What do you think, Dawn? Was ours worse?
那 Dawn, 我太太，你觉得怎么样？你想要我第一次服侍的时候就遇到这种事情吗？
Now I'm almost done.
我快讲完了。
I want you to notice the word.There, T-H-E-R, T-H-E-R-E, in verse 3.
我想大家特别注意第三节这边这个字，就是第一个字在。
That word just jumps out of the text.
这个字在这里的经文里面是一个非常重要的字。
None of the exiles, hundreds of miles away from the temple in Jerusalem,would expect to see God's chariot with the cherubim in Babylon.
那时候被掳的人他们是在巴比伦，他们当中没有一个人预料得到说竟然可以在巴比伦看到神的战车，战车身边有这些活物。
They knew that God's presence was in the most holy place back in the Jerusalem temple.
因为他们以为神只存在，他们以为神只在住在耶路撒冷这个圣城里面，圣殿里面的至圣所。
These folks then thought that they had been forgotten in a distant and unclean place.
这些流亡的人现在住在这么遥远又不洁的地方，他们以为神没有跟他们同在。
And yet 5 years into their exile, God appears to Ezekiel.
可是他们流亡五年之后，神在这个地点向以西结显现了。
That appearance would be both comforting and disturbing.
神在这个地方向他显现，对以色列人来讲，第一个他们感到安慰，第二个他们也感到非常的不解和困惑。
God had followed the exiles to Babylon. He's with them there. But why has he followed them?
神他真的一路跟着这些流亡的人到巴比伦了，他跟他们同在，可是为什么他要跟这些流亡的人一起到巴比伦？
Is he still angry and does he want to exact even more punishment?
难道神还在生以色列人的气吗？难道他还要更加倍的惩罚他们吗？
Now you can't see this in your translation, whether it's English or it's Mandarin, but verse 3 has the verb to be in it. It's a finite verb, and then there's also an infinitive right before the finite form.
在我们中英文的翻译里面可能看不出来第三节的原文里面有什么重要的字，但是在希伯来文原文里面有一个不定词，这个不定词后面加着一个动词，这个不定词的功用就是要来确认后面这个动词所形容的东西。
And the word to be in this context means to come. So Ezekiel is telling us that the word of God has come to him.
在这个不定词后面修饰的动词里面，在第三节这边出现的这个动词所形容的是以西结告诉我们上帝来到了巴比伦，上帝来到了他们被掳的地方。
The infinitive, though, intensifies the finite verb. What Ezekiel is telling us is that the word of God definitely, surely, undeniably came to him.
所以我们刚刚讲的这个不定词后面加一个动词，动词不定词就是要加强并且确认动词所形容的东西。在这里，动词所告诉我们的是神的话在巴比伦临到了。以西结前面这个不定词出现在这个动词前面，就是要再次的跟我们确认神的话真的在巴比伦临到了以西结。
Who would think that God would speak to these losers in captivity?
谁想得到说神竟然会在这些被掳的人，像这些被掳的人，像这些弱水狗显现他自己呢？
But God is among them and he is not silent.
可是神真的与他们同在，神也并没有停止做工。
That God has pursued his people to Babylon and called another prophet indicates that he still cares about them.
神一路跟着他的子民到了巴比伦，还呼召了一位先知来服侍他们，这表示神还是在乎他的子民。
The rest of the book will tell us what he has to say.
那以西结书接下来就是要告诉我们神到底要讲些什么。
Now, a couple of housekeeping matters before we all go home.
在结束之前有几件事情宣布一下。
This was the first, our first meeting together as a class, and typically people hesitate to say anything at the first meeting.
这是我们第一堂主日学，通常第一堂课的时候大家都不太好意思讲话。
So Melody and I have carried the freight for this class.
所以今天大部分的话都是我跟翻译在讲。
But please, in the weeks to come, feel free to ask questions, to make comments, to disagree vociferously with me.
但是在接下来几个礼拜当中，欢迎大家问问题，欢迎大家讨论，你们可以用最你们要问我什么样最严厉的话，你可以很直接的告诉我。
This is your class.
因为这是为大家开的课。
Please feel free to join in and make a contribution.
请大家自在的发自由的发言，并且把你的想法分享出来。
Now to help you do that.
那我这里就有一份讲义是要帮助大家问问题的。
I would like you to read. Thank you. I would like you to read Ezekiel 1, 2, and 3 for next Sunday.
希望大家回家可以把以西结书一到三章读完。
And I'm passing out some questions to stir your thinking about these chapters.
我这边有一份讲义，上面有问题，是让大家回家读经文的时候顺便去思考的问题。
Please do not think of this as homework.
但是这不是回家，这不是功课，这不是大家回家功课。
I don't expect you to write out answers. I certainly don't want you to turn in answers. I don't have time to grade anymore.
我不知道大家回家写一份写把你的答案都写下来，然后给我打分数，我也没有时间去打分数。
If I ask you to read the first three chapters of Ezekiel.Your eyes may glaze over somewhere in chapter 2.
你我如果叫你读一到三章的话，你可能读到第二章的时候就眼睛发紫，已经不知道在。
And you'll throw up your hands in disgust and say, "I have no idea what this is about."
你可能读到第二章的时候就说，算了，讲些什么东西根本看都看不懂。
I'm hoping that these questions will get you thinking along the right lines, so that what you're reading begins to make a little bit of sense to you.
但是我希望这些问题就可以帮助大家，在大家读这前三章的时候，可以帮助大家去至少抓住一点他经文的脉络，去了解出他这些经文到底要表达的是什么。
Or you might dare to ask a question next week, or even say, you know what? I had this brilliant insight. I never saw this in this passage before.
我也希望说，下次大家来上课的时候可以说，哇，怎么以西结一到三章有这么棒的经文？我之前没有这样的理解，可是我现在有这样的理解了。
Thanks for being part of the class.
谢谢大家今天来上课。